righty, let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 4, if you would. And let's take just a quick moment to recall a couple of points from our last studies. You may recall a man of God came to the house of Eli and told him, speaking to Eli, of that which God would do. And then the Lord himself called upon Samuel in the middle of the night. And after a little bit of confusion, Eli gave good advice to Samuel to go and say, "Here am I, Lord." And the Lord spoke to Samuel and told him that he would do a thing in Israel at which both ears of all who heareth it shall tingle. And then our Lord then confirmed in the next verse of his declaration of what he would do to the house of Eli. Those are things that we read in chapter 3. You don't need to turn there, but in Ezekiel 12:25 we read this: "For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God." That's God's word. "For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass." In Luke 21:33, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. The word of God came first by one of God's preachers, a man of God, it said, and then God himself spoke. Is there any doubt that these things spoken would come about? The very fact that all God says will be, shall come to pass, this is our comfort. We are standing on the promises of God. And even so far as there are many wonderful and loving promises that we read in God's word, we must also take into consideration that God also promises destruction to the wicked.
Yes, sir.
Does he not say the wages of sin is death? Yes. He has told these people, Eli himself, Samuel. Many of the commentators believe that it didn't stop just there. It wasn't just a hidden secret for Eli or Samuel. This word spread out among all the people around them. Maybe that is so. He has told these people of what is coming, and yet they do not believe. Look again at verse 3 of chapter 4, which we looked at last week. "And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines?" Remember, they went out to war against the Philistines. We read this in last week. And in that battle, 4,000 men perished. 4,000 men were smitten. And they wondered, why would the Lord smite us with this? "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." Last week we looked at the difference between calling upon the Lord and looking to your religion for your faith, for your trust, for your strength. These people, instead of calling upon the Lord, they looked to their religious artifacts, their religious ceremony. They looked to their religion, not to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 4 we see, "So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God." Eli knew why God had told him that these things would come against his family. The man of God was clear about that, was he not? Was God not clear with Samuel when he repeated those very things that would happen and why they would happen? I believe in it. Let me just make sure. In verse 13, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever." This is the Lord speaking to Samuel. "For the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not." So Eli knew. And now Samuel knew also. Yet they allowed these two men to take the ark, the covenant of the Lord, and go out to battle with it. Once again, I ask you to please allow me to quote Robert Hawker. Robert Hawker wrote, "One might reasonably have thought that after the message of the man of God to Eli's house, no Israelite would any more have put confidence in the ministry of his two sons, much less expect a blessing from God. When such profane hands were employed in bringing up the ark of God, but evil men, seducers, saith an apostle, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You can read that in 2 Timothy 3:13. He goes on to write, "Reader," speaking to each of us that just read that with him, "pause with me over this passage. Think about that for just a moment, to remark that when God ceaseth to punish, depend upon it, destruction is at hand." When God ceaseth to punish, depend on it, destruction is at hand. If Ephraim is left alone, it is because he is joined to his idols. End of quote. When I think of all those who take the Holy Scriptures and use them for their own lusts, the lust of money, I can just imagine why some must go into the ministry. Just think about it. I mean, there's some big churches out here. Which, I don't know that guy's name, the one who has Olstein or something like that. Didn't he have his own jet? What a lure that must be to go into the ministry. To have all that cash coming in, tax-free, to go do whatever you want with it. All they got to do is say some nice things to make people's ears tickle. Draw them in. What can we do to get more to come in today? All about the numbers. When I think of all those who take the Holy Scriptures and they use them for their own lusts and their own desires, what an awful end is coming for them. Mm-hmm. Yet there would I be also, if it were not for the grace of my Savior. Mm-hmm. And each and every one here today would be in that same boat. Let's read on, verse 5. "And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods?" These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with the plagues in the wilderness. They didn't even know who they were talking about. There's only one God.
That's right.
We would be wise to take note on these verses. Many will come up against the truths of God and be afraid. Maybe even to seem as to turn to these truths and receive them. Yet if they be not the sheep of the Lord, they will eventually turn a hardened heart to him and go their own way. We read in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. You see, the Lord says, I shall never leave you or forsake you. If somebody turns from the Word of God, the Word of God could not have been with them at all at any time. He has promised, has He not? Has He not? I shall never leave you nor forsake you. He is the one who keeps us. He may let us wander off for a few moments and stub our toe so that we come running back to Him because of our stiff neck, our stubbornness to think that we're good enough to do this on our own. And then He'll let us fall and stumble, and as we come right back to the Lord saying, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need You, Lord. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us, it says in the remainder of that verse. Continuing on in verse 9, it said, be strong, speaking of the Philistines. Wait a minute, don't be weak, be strong and quiet yourselves like men. Oh, ye Philistines, that be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quiet yourselves like men and fight. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a great slaughter for their fellow of Israel, 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. In one battle. Wow. How many cried over 3,000 that died in the towers that fell? 30,000 men in one battle. And there ran, continuing on in verse 12, a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon the seat of the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli had heard the noise of the crying, he said, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that they could not see. Remember what the Lord told him? The Lord told him his eyes would be dim. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that come out of the army, and I have fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. When he had made mention of the ark of God, that he, speaking of Eli, fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. All that the Lord had said would come to pass came to pass exactly as He had said.
Yes, sir.
He is God. He is omniscient. He knows everything. Everything is by His purpose. Could it have been any other way?
No.
If it could have been, then He wouldn't be worthy of the name God, would He? That's what free will religion declares, is that it could be different from the way God has purposed it. My will is above God's. I make the choice, not God. Could we expect anything less of what He has declared? Well, here's something that we can all stand on as far as standing on the promises. He has declared his son to be called Jesus. For he shall save his people.
Amen.
He has declared that his son would come to this earth to save sinners. We too have been warned of the wrath to come. Yet who makes us to differ? What makes us any different than those who choose to exercise their free will in the world? The grace of God.
Yes, sir.
The loving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes us to differ. When he tells us that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, do we not believe it?
Yes.
Can there be one? Could there be one who could spend time in hell if the Lord Jesus has paid for the sins of that one?
No.
No. We believe it so, for God has said it. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because he is God. Because he has given us that faith to believe. And that is a gift from him to us. It's not our gift to him. He said, you remember what I just read in Ecclesiastes, for I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. That means everyone for whom the Father gave him shall come to him, period.
Amen.
Our Lord has also said in his word that he is able to save to the uttermost. No matter what we have done, our Lord is able to cleanse us from that sin. That means that we are cleaned completely, through and through. God sees no sin in his chosen people. For all the sins of his people were poured out on his son. He was made to be sin for us. That we might be made righteous in him. God poured out the wrath that we deserve on his son. We are justified in the death of his son. Justice was executed on him. We are sanctified, made holy by the shedding of his blood. We are as holy as Christ himself, is what his word says. For by his stripes we have been healed. In Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, Christ, speaking to all of his people, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is the Lord. His word shall come to pass. And that is a promise that each and every one of us can stand on. We stand on the promises, Garrett. The very promises that you read in the men's meeting this morning. The very promises that our Lord declares unto all of his people. All things are for our good to those who love God. Pastor.